Frank, and you may be seated. Turn, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter 12. While you're turning there, let me remind you also to pray for Carson Mosley. She is having surgery on Wednesday, I think some ear surgery, so pray for her. Maybe you ought to pray for her parents as they, you know, deal with that and the young one like that. So pray for her that that'll all go smooth, it'll all go well, and it'll help and make a huge difference and help her not have so much sickness that she's had, all right? I hope you'll do that. Pray for her. All right, there's plenty to pray about. There's plenty to pray for.
Our friend George is having surgery also on Wednesday.
All right, our friend George is having surgery on Wednesday also, so pray for him. That's Brother Miss Dunbar, I think, friend, okay? But if he's friendly, I'll take him as a friend too, all right? We'll take anybody like that, that's for sure. All right, there we go. We're in Romans chapter 12. Look, if you will, we're going to read one verse again. Verse 2, if you will. The Bible said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, I told you last week that chapter 12, the book of Romans, if you will, sort of sifts a bit from a focus on the doctrinal. And by the way, there is absolutely nothing wrong with doctrine, okay? We're not like that crowd that says we don't need doctrine. We need doctrine, okay? We definitely need it. But it switches the focus a little bit from more doctrinal to just practical Christian living. And boy, what a challenge it is to live for the Lord. Truthfully, the practice of Christian living, if you're going to live for Christ, then I believe it begins with what we read and looked at last week in verse 1, presenting yourself, your body to the Lord as a living sacrifice. If you're really going to serve the Lord, you're really going to walk with Him, you need to do it. But I want you to notice something. I want you to notice the first word in verse 2. That word is "and." And. Now, normally, we sort of just glaze over some things, don't think about it too much. But that "and" obviously connects verse 2 with verse 1, all right? There's a connection, that word, all right? If you're going to present your body as a living sacrifice, then you need to couple that with something. And what the Bible mentions in verse 2 is it needs to be coupled with a pulling away from the world. Pulling away from the world. We're just going to look at a few four things tonight, if you will. And I want to notice the first thing. If you're going to pull away from the world and you're going to present that body as a living sacrifice, you need to learn to resist. That's what the Bible says when it says, "Be not conformed to this world." Be not conformed to this world. Trey, hey, folks, one of the most difficult things about being a Christian is that you have to live in a world that isn't. We have to live in this world that isn't Christian. I've mentioned to you in the past, our country used to, there was a day when Christians were looked up to, they were admired, but that is getting less and less true. I was reading a mission letter from two missionaries in Germany, not Germany, South Korea, one Brother Mahaney, but also a mission letter that I get from a brother, Brother Kowak. Now, we don't support Brother Kowak, but he has sent me his mission letter ever since he came and visited our church when he was on deputation. And I was reading that letter, and both Brother Mahaney and Brother Kowak both say this, or something along this line. Brother Kowak especially said when he first went to South Korea, he said it was the easiest thing in the world to pass out tracts. He said, "Man, we could pass out tracts and nobody turned them down. People would take them and they'd read them." He said, after a few years, he said, they'd take them from our children. He said, they wouldn't necessarily be so willing to take them from us, but they'd take them from a child. He said, now in South Korea, the government has really come out and focused on churches. Brother Drew told me there's two churches over there that are really more of a cult than they are a church. But because they have that name church on them, they've traced a lot of the spread of the virus over there to those two. And because of that, churches don't, it makes it difficult for any church. See, the world doesn't understand there's a difference. The world drives by and sees the word church, and they lump us all together. We're all lumped together. So it makes it very difficult. Church is not respected the way it used to be. And the world isn't Christian. John Phillips is a writer and a preacher, and he said this. He said, "The world is the devil's lair for sinners and his lure for saints. It is human life and society with God left out." You know, I read that and I thought I couldn't say it better, so that's why I'm quoting him, all right? Man, he's got it down. That's the world, all right? The world is where the devil and the lost of this old world, the sinners, they're just sucked in by it. But the sad thing is it's a great lure for God's people, the saints of God, all right? So the Bible tells us, be not conformed to this world. You see, the world puts a lot of pressure on you and I. The world puts a lot of pressure on us. And there's one thing that human nature, most of human nature, is that we do not like to stand out like a sore thumb. We just sort of want to fit in. Nobody really likes undue attention, all right? Now, I realize there's some people in this world that'll do anything to get attention, all right? But by and large, most people don't want to do that. Well, what the world seeks to do is to mold everyone into its own fashion. It just wants you to conform. And there's that pressure. All the pressure is applied to get the believer to conform to the world's desires, the world's designs, and truthfully, the world's depravity. There is that pressure, all right? And the sad thing and the amazing thing to me is to see how much success the world has among people that profess to be saved. It's distressing to me to see how many people who profess to be Christians get conformed to the world. You say, what do you mean, preacher, conformed to the world? Well, hey, we look like them, we act like them, we talk like them, we dress like them, we walk like them, we think like them. We think like the world. Oh, no, not me. Yeah, we do. You got to be careful. You have to resist that because that pressure is there. Now, I'll be honest with you. I could get bogged down on this first point. We'd never get past it tonight, all right? But I'm not going to do that on purpose, not because it's not important. It is important. Hey, the Bible says we're to resist that. We're not to be conformed to this world. Now, to be honest, you're the one that says, well, preacher, you think I am? Well, wait a minute. How about you look at you and be honest? You look at you and be honest. It's not me that you're going to have to answer to. You're going to stand before God one of these days. You're going to stand before Him. Just look at yourself. Check it out, you know. Just check it out. I'm amazed at how much of the language of the world. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about the profanity, although unfortunately that's involved in this day. But I mean just the words that the world uses. I've worked, man, for years and years with teenagers. And you listen to them and they would use that kind of language. Really rad. You go, rad? What in the world is rad? Well, you know, man, it's bad. Oh, it's not good. No, it's good. It's good, bad. Hey, man, you with me? And I could go on and on. That's just simply an example. Why do we decide we're going to pick up that language? I guarantee you, the world out there, that crowd that instituted and began that, they're no friend of God. They're not God's people. They're not faithful to the Word of God. They don't live for the Lord. And yet, here we are sounding like them. We sound like them. Sad thing, we live in a day nowadays where churches are making their buildings like a nightclub. You go in a church building and the thing's black, the walls are black, ceiling's black, everything's black, and you go, what are we doing? We're conforming to the world. We're conforming to the world. There was a time at least people talked about their Sunday best. Man, we'd dress up, you know, it's our Sunday best. And people had clothes set aside. This is Sunday best. Man, not anymore. Well, what have we conformed to? We've conformed to the world's idea. Now, I've got to move on, because if I don't, I know I will not move any further, all right? Hey, the problem is we need to resist that. Be not conformed to the world. But notice what the Bible says after that. But be ye transformed. Hey, revitalized, recycled, remade, if you will, all right? Be ye transformed. Hey, conformity comes from outside, all right? It's the pressure that comes from without to get us to be what somebody else or something else is. But transformation comes from within. Amen. We're transformed by what happens within. Salvation is to be a transforming experience. Remember where the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's the same old creature? Old things are the same as they've always been. And, oh, y'all's Bible doesn't read that way, huh? You know, come think of it, mine doesn't either. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. New creature. Why? He's been transformed. He has been transformed. That new creature is what you are to be. Why? Because something's happened to us. Something got, you know, I like that old song. This is something got a hold of me. Something got a hold of me, you know. And, man, that's a great old song. I'm not going to sing it all. If you don't know it, well, see me after church and give me a couple bucks, and I'll sing it for you. No, I was kidding about that. It's a great old song, man. You know, just wonderful old song. Talk about a fellow that went to the service, said, I really didn't intend to get anything. And he said, but I went in. The devil said, don't you go in. But he said, I'll just step inside, sit as far back as I can. But then he said, something got a hold of me. Something got a hold of me. Why? Through the preaching of the Word of God. What did it do? Changed me. Changed me. Listen, you got saved. It's a transforming experience. We may come in, you know, it's a good thing to come in the building. But boy, it's a good thing when you leave that you're not the same when you walked in. Those of you who go to the beauty salon, you don't walk out the way you came in, do you? Nowadays, there's manicures and pedicures, and, you know, you can get your eyebrows worked on, and you can get, I mean, there's all kinds of things. It just absolutely is appalling. I mean, amazing to me, all right, of everything that does happen, okay? But the whole idea, when you go in, when you come out, you're hoping to look different. There was a time a few years ago when so-called glamour shots were real popular. And I've seen some people that went in and had their glamour. I hardly recognized the person. So, are you sure that's you? You know, it's amazing what they can do. Well, you know what? We can do all that kind of stuff. But, boy, can I tell you this? When you got saved, that's what the Lord did for you. He ought to change you. That's why the Bible said we're a new creature. Why? We've been transformed. Hey, today when we talk about Transformers, we're talking about toys. We're talking about a TV show. We're talking about a movie. All that fake computer-generated stuff, all right? My grandson loves them, all right? I'm not preaching against the toys, all right? But I am saying to you what we're talking about is not a toy. Transformed is what we become when we allow the Holy Spirit of God to etch in us the likeness of Jesus Christ. Hey, the last time I looked, we're supposed to be more like Him. We're supposed to be more like Him. And that happens as we're transformed from that lost person we were. Hey, I'm not the same anymore, all right? Not the same. If we'll yield ourselves to Him, He can transform that old sinner into a work, my friend, that'll bring honor and glory to the great God who saved him, if we'll just let him work. That's the prescription. That's what the Bible's saying. That's what, hey, we're making the transition from doctrine to the practical things. So what's a practical? First of all, there ought to be a difference in you. Man, we're not conformed to the world. God's done something in us. We're transformed from darkness to light, from sad to glad, from sorrow to joy, from despair to hope. Amen. Transformed all the way around. The world goes through this COVID deal. More people are committing suicide. They're losing it. They're having a hard time. Why? I believe they've not had that transforming work of God in their life. Just hasn't happened. Oh, my soul. Hey, transformed. Notice what the Bible said back there in Romans chapter 12. He said, be ye transformed, notice, by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Sometimes we need to rethink some things, all right? Our mind needs to be worked on. And transformation is possible when the mind is renewed, all right? Our thinker needs some work. It needs some work. I'm going to be honest with you. I'll never forget when we were starting our Christian school 400 years ago now. When we were starting our Christian school about 46, 47 years ago, we decided to go with the ACE program. And they had a training program that you had to go to, and so I went to it. And I'm be honest with you, as I was going through some of those things that they had you read and go over, I began to look at them, and I began to think, you know what, really hadn't thought about that. Really hadn't thought about how much the world has had an effect. World has an effect. How it's affected God's people. And what do we need? Well, we need a renewing of that mind so we can be transformed. So we have a lot of trouble being transformed because of the way we think. The way we think. You say, what ought to happen to it? Well, go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, would you? Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at just a few things here. Ephesians chapter 5. One of the great things that needs to happen to your mind is it needs to be cleaned. Needs to be cleaned. Ephesians 5 verse 26 talks about... It talks about the husbands loving their wives in verse 25, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But verse 26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word. Hey, the word of God does some amazing things. Amazing things. I'll never forget years ago when Brother Roloff began to be attacked by the state in his homes. I remember Dad and I going to some rallies, and I remember Brother Roloff introducing some people out of his homes. And, man, he began to talk about what a transformation there had been in their life. And he said this. He said, he talked about this one particular individual, and he said, that person came to our home, and the state told her parents, you send them down there, you take them out of their state home, they'll die. And their parents said, well, if they do, they'll die at the Roloff homes. Amen. Said, we're doing it. And they talked about how that young person came in the home and couldn't think, man, mind destroyed with drugs and everything that goes along with it. And how that person said, day after day, sat there, no communication, wouldn't speak, wouldn't talk. But day after day, they got a continual diet of the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. And sure enough, that's what it took. That word of God got through. Look, boy, one of the greatest things we do is clean our mind when we open up the word of God. Open up the word of God. If you're having problems in your life, you're struggling with some sin, let me encourage you, open this book. Open this book. Read it. And you say, where? Anywhere. All of it will do you some good. Just take the time, read the Word of God. Why? Cleanse it needs to be cleansed. That mind needs to be renewed. But not only that, don't just read it and let it go in one ear and out the other. But Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do everything that's written therein. Hey, we're to meditate on this book. Meditate on this book. I was talking to an individual a few weeks ago that said, preacher, I want to talk to you. And they were having some difficulties. And so we sat down and began to talk and went over some things. I finally said, you know, here's what you need. You need to get in your Bible. You're not reading your Bible. And they confessed to me, no, I'm not reading it. I said, read it. And they said, you know, I've tried it. I don't know how many years I've tried to sit down and I'm going to read my Bible through in a year. And they said, never did get very far. He said, I didn't get very far. I said, well, wait a minute. Maybe you got the wrong idea. It's not a requirement, you know, you got to read three chapters every day. If the best you can do is read three verses, read three verses. But think about those verses. Think about them. Listen, my friend, you can read five chapters a day, but if you don't think about what you've read, it doesn't do you any good. Doesn't do you any good. We need to meditate on it. Psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart. It needs to be there. Why? Help you renew your thinking, all right? That transformation comes by the renewing of your mind. The best way to get it renewed is in the word of God. Boy, not only that, go with me to Isaiah chapter 26, would you? Isaiah chapter 26. And there's just verse after verse we could go to tonight, but I don't want to be here for 3 hours, okay? I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 26. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. The Bible said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. How are you going to keep your mind stayed on God? Get in the book. Because that's the book that tells you about him. That's the book that tells you about him. How many people ever heard somebody said, I got this song stuck in my head? Heard that? Yeah. Maybe you've had the song stuck in your head. You know, and you just, you know, it's just there and you sing. Hey, wouldn't it be good if we had a verse of Scripture stuck in our head? Wouldn't it be good if we got that? And you say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying focus on the Word of God. I mean, you need to read it to clean your mind. You need to meditate on it. You need to focus on what's there. Focus on that book. Focus on what God says. Why? Because those truths will help you to rethink what's been heard and what you've said and what's been said to you. It'll renew your mind and it'll transform your life if we'll allow the Lord to use it. Just go for it, all right? Go for it. I mean, put into it everything you can. And look, if you'll continue to resist the conforming of the world, and you allow yourself to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, I don't got news for you. The results will be impossible to conceal. You just won't be able to hide it. You won't be able to do it. It'll just come out in you. It's going to show up. It's going to show up. When I was in high school, my homeroom teacher, who was also my English teacher, for my senior year in high school, talked about an experience he had when he began teaching. Now, Mr. Seeley was my teacher's name. He was well up in years. He had some experience on him. And he told this experience. He said, when I first started teaching, said I was teaching out in a country school. He said, I was just teaching out in this country school. And he said, I got to noticing this one boy is sitting next to the window. And he said every now and then he'd kind of lean towards that window and go, spit out the window. So he got to noticing he was chewing tobacco. So Mr. Seeley said, I just casually, in the course of teaching, I walked over to the window and pushed it down. And then he said, I went back to the front room, kept teaching. And he said, as I watched that kid back there begin to turn green. Because he was now swallowing what he didn't really want to swallow, okay? Hey, what you take in can show up on you, all right? If you'll take in enough, I guarantee it'll show up on you. It'll make you bigger than you want to be, all right? So, but I mean, hey, what we'll take in of the Word of God makes it impossible for us to conceal what God, if we just push off the conforming to the world and let God transform us. Okay? The Bible says here, what does it say there back in Romans chapter 12, verse 2? It says that ye may prove. That ye may prove. Do you like proving things? I've had people say to, you know, you make a statement, somebody say, prove it. Prove it. My friend of mine, years ago, we were playing tennis. We'd play tennis pretty much every evening, or at least two or three times a week, and usually later at night. down at tennis court down here, and then we'd quit, and the loser would buy a drink at Relax Pizza Place, all right? And it was usually me that lost because I'd never played tennis. So I was buying those drinks, and in the course one evening we were up there talking, and somehow or another, I don't know, he said something to the waitress about being a pilot, and she didn't believe we were pilots. And she said, prove it. You know, I got to think about it. How do you prove you're a pilot? How do you prove you're a pilot? You say, well, show them your pilot's license. That doesn't prove anything. You can fake all kinds of documents. The only way to really prove it is to get somebody in an airplane with you, take off, show them you can fly it. But I just want to say this to you. If you didn't really believe somebody's a pilot, I would suggest you not get in the airplane with them just in case they weren't, all right? But we can prove some things if we've been transformed. Now, I want you to notice what the Bible says. You can prove what is that good.
Amen.
Good. The world has a badly warped view of what's good.
Yes, sir.
World has a badly warped view of what's good. This old world thinks it's a good thing to get out and, you know, take the weekend, drink and party and all that kind of stuff and just hope you can stagger into work on Monday. World thinks that's a good deal. Hey, the world really thinks that it's good to indulge the flesh any way you please and then do anything you want to avoid the consequences of your actions. Now, that's why the biggest push for abortion's there. It's not for somebody who's been victimized. It's somebody that doesn't want to face the consequences of their actions. They don't want to face it. That's why a lot of people turn to drugs. A lot of people turn drugs because they've lived a life and they can't live with themselves anymore and they can't live with around them. So let me take something that'll help me forget what's going on with me. Hey, that's what's going on with the world, all right? Can I say this to you? That's not good. That's not good. Well, the Bible says if you'd be transformed, why? So you can prove what is that good. That good. But then notice what it says. And acceptable. Acceptable. Now, we're talking about what's acceptable to God, not what's acceptable to man. You know, I got to thinking as I was studying to prepare this message, what's acceptable to man is constantly changing. Constantly changing. You sit down today and open up an annual, a high school yearbook from years gone by, and you know what the reaction is to most people? They start laughing. Good grief, look at that hairdo.
Yeah, amen.
I got news for you. That hairdo was acceptable then.
Yes,
sir. It was acceptable. But as a matter of fact, a lot of people did it. Because
right.
You go through those yearbooks, most of those people look pretty much alike.
Right.
Guess what? Go through the yearbook today. You know what? Most of those people look pretty much alike. Pretty much alike. Why? Well, the style changed. Yeah, that's acceptable now. It wasn't acceptable then.
Right.
And what was acceptable then is laughed at today. And we could use that on so many veins and down so many avenues, but just using that one that we can grasp real easy, because, man, what's acceptable to man constantly changes. Aren't you glad that what's acceptable to God never changes?
Amen.
He doesn't change, and His Word doesn't change, and what's acceptable to Him is just right there, is constant all the time. He will not accept just anything from us. So the Bible said if you'll not be conformed to this world and you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you can prove what is that good and acceptable. Oh, but look at the next word, perfect. Perfect. Well, preacher, ain't nobody perfect. I've heard that, I don't know how many times. I don't know how many times I've been talking to somebody about their life and they want to defend themselves. And usually want to defend their sin, and they'll say it something like this. Now, I know I'm not perfect, but, you know, I've got to where I would say when they say, I know I'm not perfect, I just jump in with amen.
Amen.
We do know that. So why do we keep saying it? Because what we're fixing to follow it with is a defense of what we're our imperfection. Let me explain why I'm that way. The Bible says, wait a minute, Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. What? The will of God. Hey, the will of God's good. The will of God's acceptable. The will of God's perfect. Perfect. And whatever happens, it's the will of God. It's perfect. It's perfect. If we could just grasp that. Now, you'll never grasp it until you've been transformed. Never grasp it until you've been transformed. That's why people today, in this day, people that are Christians will have something happen to them, some accident, some tragedy, some something, and they will say, I'm done with God. I'm done with God. Because they're not willing to accept His will. Not willing to accept His will. I'm through. I quit. Man, I hear about people doing that all the time. Laymen, I've heard preachers. Preachers quit. Why? They quit. Why? If something happened they didn't think was right. They didn't think God was right. You said, what's wrong with them, preacher? I tell you this. I think to some extent they weren't transformed. They just weren't transformed. We're still hanging on to that world. And the world doesn't understand it. And so the world doesn't understand it. And we hang on to that thought. And when it happens to us, we think, well, God's not right. But if you'd be transformed by the transforming power of God and the Spirit of God, as He does His work in you, and you resist that conformity to the world, you know what you'll find out? You'll find out what is that good and that perfect and that acceptable will of God. It is perfect. When you get out of that will, you know what happens? You lose your joy. You lose your joy. You lose your confidence. You lose your contentment. Why? Out of the will of God. Out of the will of God. I mean, that's all it takes. You get out of the will of God, it'll mess you up. If you'll stay in that will, oh, what a difference it'll make. If you'll just stay there. How does that happen? You got to be transformed. You got to be transformed. You're never going to stay in the will of God if you're not really transformed. All right? It's not going to happen. Let the Lord transform you, and you'll prove, if you will, all those things about the will of God. You'll prove it in your own life. You'll see it. You'll see, you know what? The will of God's good. It's good. Do I understand it all? No. No. But I tell you what, it's good. Something else, not only good, it's acceptable. It's acceptable. You know what? If you're in the will of God and you're transformed, it'll be acceptable to you. Lord, all right, I'll take your will. I'll take it. You'll find out. Now, I'll be honest with you. You may not find it out until you get to heaven, but you're going to find out it's perfect. It was perfect. Perfect. Can I ask you something tonight? Have you proven it for yourself? Is the problem you're still letting the world conform you to its image? Conform you to its image? I mean, it's still there. The world's still working you over. Or have you allowed the Holy Spirit of God to really get inside you and transform your life? Hey, He's in you if you're saved, but you have to yield to Him. You have to yield to Him. But if you'll do that, if you'll learn, hey, the world's got nothing for me. The world's got nothing for me. The world has nothing for you. Nothing. If you'd learn that and allow the Holy Spirit to transform you, I want to tell you this, you'll be the happiest, you'll be joyful, you'll go through life, man, kicking up your heels, or at least thinking about it if you're not too old to jump and you don't have knee trouble anymore, all right? You'll want to do it, okay? You'll want to do it. I have to sit down now to kick my heels, all right? But I used to be able to do it standing up. Can't do that anymore. Hey, if you just prove. Why? Let the Lord transform. Let the Lord transform you. Question, just real simple. Three words I want you to think about. Conform, transform, proven. Where you at? Where you at? Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Help us see the truth of the Word of God. Help us to see, Lord, that this business of Christianity This business of living for you means we've got to not allow the world to conform us to what they want, to what the desire of the world is. And Lord, really, for the despair of this old world, we have to not allow that to happen. Lord, instead, we've got to yield to you and allow the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God to transform our life. Make it over. Make it anew. And Lord, then every one of us that'll do that, we can prove that the will of God is good, it's acceptable, it's perfect. We can prove it. Lord, help us to see that. First, in Jesus' name we pray. Would you remain with your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? I'm going to ask the instruments to just play through the invitation hymn, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way." And if you sit there tonight, would you kind of examine your own self? Would you kind of examine it? Hey, are you conformed to the world? So, well, preacher, I can't say that I've proven that the will of God is perfect and good, acceptable. Well, wait a minute. Are you allowing the Lord to transform you? Listen, if there's a work needs to be done and you need to come, the altar's open. We'll just wait a minute or two. God needs to work and He's working on you. And would you come tonight? But give Him a chance. Be honest. Where are you in that process? Conformed? Transformed? Proven? Where do you stand tonight? Where do you stand?